Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
How are you? All right. Jono's okay, so that's good. How are you? Good. That's what we like to hear. So it's Father's Day today, as you are aware. How many fathers are there here? Any dads in the house? Right. I need to hear a cheer from the dads, just the dads, because you're happy that you're a dad. It's good. And I'm a dad. This is good. 4 years ago, I became a father to Emma, and Emma's just had her birthday, kind of a week-long celebration of birthdays, kind of like the Queen, and you know, you got your birthday, you've got your official birthday, you've got your public birthday, all those kind of things. So she's had a good week. But I don't know about you, if you are a dad, and you're like me, you really consider it to be an incredible privilege to be a dad. Do you love being a dad? Dads love being a dad. I love being a father to Emma. It's like, it really is for me, like the biggest privilege of my life. I love being a husband. I love leading church, but there's just something about, you know, having a child that's yours. It's a product of your love, and it's a product of your family. And sometimes we have adopted kids as well, and we adopt them into our family, and we share this love and this absolute honor and privilege of being a father. And if you are a dad, then we've got to salute you big time, because so much of the future is dependent on fathers. You know, what happens through fathers affects generations. I've been affected and impacted by my father in good ways, and maybe some in some ways negative ways and stuff. And we're trying hard, aren't we, dads? Aren't we trying hard? We're trying to do a good job, aren't we? Yes, you've got to interact with me today, or this is going to take a long, long time. Long time, because I'm just going to keep going. And so I love being a dad. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. My story is, so you know the context of what I'm talking from, because sometimes you might look and say, oh, there's Dave, he's a pastor, he's brought up in a lovely home and a lovely house and all this stuff. And, you know, so where's he talking from? I'm talking from the background of never knowing. I've never met my dad. Yesterday on Facebook, my mum, who's clearing out the house, they're moving out of the house that they're in at the moment, her and my stepdad, and she's found some photographs of her when she was younger, and some photographs of her around about the age that she actually became pregnant with me, and she was like 16, and I'm looking at these photographs of a 16-year-old, and I've carried the genes on through the family of not looking your age, and my mum is 16, and she looks about 12, and I'm like, oh my goodness, there's my mom. And so I've never met my dad. It wasn't a one-night stand, but it was a short-lived relationship that I was a product of. But do you know what? God planned me. God planned me. God planned you. I don't know what you're the product of in the natural the way that you look at your life. Maybe you come from a great, stable family background. Maybe you've never met your dad. I don't know. Maybe, you know, I don't know what your background is, but I know this, that you're no surprise to God, and you're still in the plans of God. God planned redemption for mankind. God planned redemption. God planned to deal with the mess up. God planned already to deal with the things that weren't quite how would be best, let's say. So wherever you're from, whatever your background is, whatever your biological history is, you're not outside of God's plan. He's the Redeemer. He is the Redeemer. And so I didn't know my biological dad, and then I had a dad growing up who left home when I was 19. I was a little bit older, but I thought, well, maybe this isn't going to impact me as much, but I think it impacted me much more than I actually realized at the time, and it certainly impacted my sister, who was the biological daughter of my stepdad. So he left home, and that was 6 months before I became a Christian, and then I became a Christian 6 months after my stepdad had left home and left my mom, and I found God, right? And when you find God, you find a father. when you find God, you find a father. And I thought, well, this is good. I don't need a dad anymore. I don't know. I don't need my dad. This is okay. This is kind of dealt with because I've met with God. And let me tell you, God is a healer of all kinds of pain and all kinds of hurt and all kinds of wounds. But as I've gone on, and I'm coming up to 40 in 2 weeks' time. 40 in 2 weeks. No. I know. It's unbelievable. I know. I'll let that settle in, actually. Settle into you. Because you're not going to be able to hear anything else, are you? Because now that you've heard that, you're like, no, I don't know. You're going to be working through that all week. I'm just realizing, even in the last 6 months of my life, I've realized, gosh, you know what? Yeah, I've got a father in heaven who's doing so much, but I'm still looking. I'm still looking for the voice of a father around my life. I'm like, it's not gone away, a need for fathers. And I'm like, gosh, we're all like this, aren't we? Guys, we're all still like it. We all want a fatherly voice into our lives. I'm like, I've not just got over it because I found God, and that's a big part of it, right? But still, I'm looking for the voice of a father. I'm still looking for that voice and from God and from people. I'm like, this is so important for us, that there is a fatherly voice for the guys. It's so important for the girls. Yeah, but there's something about today where I'm kind of skewing it slightly towards the guys. This is for everyone, but it is skewed slightly. Say slightly. Slightly towards the guys. And we're all still looking. We're still wanting that voice. I'm going to give you a scripture right now, something from the Bible, from something that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. And he's saying this, right? He says, verse 6, sorry, because you are his sons, just say, I am his son. That's God's son. We become not just a follower. Let me tell you, some of you don't know this, that you don't just become a Christian, you don't just become a churchgoer, but you become a son. Not the son, that's Jesus, okay? Don't get any crazy ideas. But you become a son, a child of God. And even to the girls, you become a son. You become, it's like, what do you mean I become a son? I am female. It means that you become an heir, like a firstborn child, you know, able to access everything that belongs to Jesus Christ. You become a son. And because you're his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Say Abba. Abba. Say Father. Abba. No, well, you don't have to carry on saying everything I said for the next half hour. Gosh. Father. Abba. And Abba's not, Abba is not, it's not merely a Swedish rock band, right? Pop band of the night. It's not merely... it is, partly. But Abba is the Aramaic word for father. So, father. Abba, it's gone. I'm still on it. I'm still saying it. I'm still going with this. So, into our hearts, the Spirit calls out Abba, Father. And this is, you say, why that? Why that? It's reflective of the phrase that is reported that Jesus called out in the Garden of Gethsemane. When the Garden of Gethsemane is where Jesus prayed, kind of on his own, before being arrested, before going to the cross, before dealing with the biggest pressure moment. You may think, oh, didn't Jesus just walk into that thinking, yeah, I'm the Son of God, I'm going to do it. No, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Abba, Father, if it's possible, take this away from me. I don't really want to go through with this, but not my will be done, yours be done. It's like the pressure point of Jesus' life. And so I think it's significant that when Paul talks about this is a spirit of his son that we have, he's saying right down into your hearts, from the deepest part of you, from the deepest area of need, from the deepest pressure points of your life, you can cry out in the same way, Abba, Father. The same as Jesus cried out and got an answer and received strength to face what he faced, you can cry out to your Father, Heavenly Father, in whatever situation you are in, from the deep part of you, from the hidden part of you, from the stuff that nobody else knows about that you're trying to deal with, you can cry out to your Heavenly Father. Abba, Father. You never need feel alone. You never need feel alone in your trouble, in your strife, in your situation ever again. Let me speak that over your life from this moment. You never, say never. You never need to feel alone in your strife, in your trouble, in your pressure points ever again. Because the Spirit of Jesus Christ is in you. Believer, if you don't know God today, I'm saying, gosh, I'm trying to sell this to you a little bit because I think you've probably got some pressure points. If you walked in here today, it's like, I don't really know God, I don't know, right? I'm gonna sell this to you, right, that you never need feel alone again after today, that you can actually meet with your Heavenly Father before you go home. You can connect with God and find that for your life and for your stuff, you find a father. You might not have a great dad. You might have an okay dad, a brilliant dad, I don't know. But you can cry out from the deepest part of you to your Heavenly Father and find help in time of need. Wow. Praise God. So as God's children, God's sons, we cry out to our Heavenly Father, and yet in everyone, every single person, if you got the Spirit of God, you go, I'm crying out to God. But in every single person, there is a cry for a father. In every single person, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, there is a cry in our nation. There is a cry in our communities. There's a cry in our households. There is a cry in Liverpool. There is a cry in the city for fathers. Not just, oh, I want to know my Heavenly Father, but there is something in every single person saying, we need fathers in our world. Some have been severely let down by dad. Some have never known their dad. That's me. Both counts. Both counts, right? So that's where I'm speaking from today. Some feel like failures as fathers. And I reckon that's probably every dad. At some point, I feel like I'm messing it up. Feel like I'm getting it wrong. Every single one of us. But God, our Father, wants to restore the voice of true fatherhood to our lives, to our families, to our communities, to our city, to our nation. I would pray and believe that we could be world changers through a prophetic example to our world of what it's like to live under the true Father, Father God, that would impact the way that we do family. That's why things like the marriage masterclass are important. That's why we celebrate dads. That's why we say, go for it. You're doing great. We believe in you. Keep on going, because we are demonstrating to the world around us, this is how God intended it to be. This is how you live family life. This is how you do it. So our heart is that fathers would rise up. Yes, mothers, yes, you know, whole family units, but we're talking about fatherhood today. We want fathers to rise up. We want to encourage you. We believe in you. You can do this with the help of God and with the help of one another. We can make a difference in our world. When we cry out and when we call to our Heavenly Father, He answers with the voice of true fatherhood, enabling us to face our days with confidence, transforming us from the heart outwards and equipping us to be His voice in the world. I want to give you a few things about the voice of the Father in the next few minutes, okay? Is that all right? Would you like to know what the voice of the Father is really like? Because some of us think the voice of our Heavenly Father would be like the voice of our natural father when our natural father's voice has not been a brilliant encouragement to us. Some of us just need to hear the voice of the Father. We're looking around. Give me a father, give me a father. But your Heavenly Father wants to speak into your life today. And I want to describe to you a few things about His voice so you can recognize it. Is that okay? Good. And my main passage here is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is the Apostle Paul. An apostle is like a father within the church. And Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, which is all over the place. You think your life's a mess, right? You think your life's all over the place. The church at Corinth, we're all over the place. This is a super polite church compared with the church at Corinth, right? If I was trying this at the church at Corinth, people would be shouting me down. There'd be people throwing stuff. There'd be people like just standing up trying to prophesy while I'm speaking. You'd know that people like sleeping together, not during the service, but just all kinds of stuff going on and things going on in the church. church is a mess. And Paul comes and talks into the life of this church. So if you think, well, gosh, my life's bad, well, it's nothing compared to the church at Corinth, right? So you can receive some good stuff from this right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 to 20. And Paul's been kind of speaking into it. He's been saying, hey, do you remember me? I'm Paul the Apostle, hey. And you guys, there's some stuff going on. And he says in verse 4, I'm not writing these things to make you ashamed. I'm not writing these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you. We don't use the word admonish enough, do you? Eh? In your household, fathers, I am about to admonish you. It's good. But to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That's why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere, in every church. Some are arrogant, as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you soon. Daddy's coming home, isn't it? Daddy's coming home. I'll come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I'll find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love in a spirit of gentleness? Love in a spirit of gentleness, please. If we've got options, that'd be nice. So here's a few things about the voice of a father. First thing is the voice of a father never aims to shame us. The voice of a father never aims to shame us. When you, emotive memories stick in your head, don't they? Emotive memories stick in your head. And one of the memories that sticks in my head growing up was when my my sister was doing her maths homework. She's probably about 11 or 12, doing her maths homework. And my dad's there, and he's trying to help her. This is my dad who left when I was 19, not Chris, who some of you might have met last week. So it's not a story about Chris, who my mum married a few years ago. And story about the dad that was around when I was growing up. And he was like trying to help her with the homework, and she just couldn't get it. He was getting frustrated. And I just remember, and it sticks in my head, just the moment when he said, well, you can't be that stupid. You can't be that stupid. And she's crying, and I'm just sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, how could that come out? How could that come out of your mouth? And maybe for some of us, you know, we've always kind of felt that our father's ashamed of us. Maybe we felt they're just not really happy with how we're doing. We went to feel slightly ashamed, slightly shameful, not quite up to muster, not quite up to scratch, always having to prove yourself. Some of us, you know, sometimes I hear meet guys and their father's not around anymore at all. They've died, and you're still trying to prove yourself to your dad or to some standard that's come through. And we carry that on. Some of us have this in our lives that we think God's ashamed of us. We think that's God's standpoint. God's ashamed. Because we know that we're not quite matching up to the standard that we've set ourselves. And we know we're not 100% holy or 100% getting it right all the time. And we feel like God is ashamed of us, and that he would talk to us based upon the things that we should be ashamed of. And so, God, we should come to church slightly ashamed of ourselves. I bet there's a few people here, you come to church today slightly ashamed. Slightly feeling, I am not even worthy to come and sing in church. But that is not God's heart for you. God never, the Father's heart is never to speak to you to deliberately bring shame upon your life. The Father's voice comes to us as dear children. He says, I'm not trying to shame you. You're my dear children. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to admonish. I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to help you get through the stuff. His default is a spirit of love. His default is a spirit of gentleness. You think God's harsh, he's going to be angry. His default is a spirit of gentleness. You need to know that, and you need to allow that voice to speak into your heart today. Because I always emphasize Emma's positive attributes, right? I don't stand up here, and if I'm talking about Emma, unless it's a, you know, some sort of illustrative story, right? I am not going to just stand up here every week and say, this is the bad things Emma's done this week. This is how I'm going to define Emma, by the times she's had a tantrum, the times she's tried to hit me, the times that she's not done what I've asked her to do, the times she's, you know, been cheeky to her mom. I'm not going to stand up and define her. This is what defines her, all these things. She's defined by her incredible personality. She's defined by the gifts that she has. She's defined by the times she makes me laugh, by the times that she's, wow, gosh, you've learned a new skill. You've learned something new. She's defined by all these good things. She's defined by her potential. And that's how God is. You're not defined by all the rubbish, by all the junk. That is not what defines you or what God is looking at as who you are. You are being defined in God's eyes by who he's made you to be, by all the good stuff he's put into you, by your unique personality, by your giftings, and even by what Jesus Christ has done for you. So even all your rubbish that you think, oh, it's my rubbish, he just goes, well, let's just look at what Jesus has done there, so we don't even have to use that at all to define who you are. It's wiped out. So all the negative, wiped out. In Jesus Christ. He says, Colossians 2 verse 13, God made you alive with Christ. He forgives us all our sins. Say all my sins. Having cancelled. Say cancelled. It's cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness. The charges against you have been cancelled. Every single one. The ones that you walked in here today, say, oh, I stuffed that up again. It's cancelled. Thanks, Phil. Which stood against us and condemned us. He's taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he's talking about demonic stuff here. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Our Father does not emphasize your rubbish. He is not waiting to kind of expose how bad you've been and let everybody know. He's not going to make a spectacle of you and your rubbish. He makes a spectacle of the devil, of the one who would say, you are rubbish. You're the one who would say, you know what, I'm going to condemn you. You need to focus on all your bad stuff. He's made a spectacle of the enemy through the work of the cross. Says, look how rubbish the devil is. Not how rubbish you are. Some of us need to step out of the voice of shame and from under the voice of shame today and to come under the voice of his love for you. Some of us need to do that today. For some of us, that's coming out from the fear that we're not good enough to a place of security where our Father can really deal with some of the stuff that's going on in our lives. Sometimes we don't deal with it because we're ashamed about it, so no, we don't get any help. We don't even really talk to God about it, never mind anybody else, because we're ashamed and we don't want to bring it up because people will be ashamed of us and say, oh, how shameful. But if you step out from under the voice of shame and into the voice of his love for you, you can begin to, come on, let's just deal with this. Allow God to speak and talk to the stuff. Allow somebody maybe to be the voice of the Father into your life to deal with the stuff. The next thing about the Father's voice is that it cuts through the crowd. The Father's voice cuts through the crowd. It says, for though you've got countless guides in Christ, you don't have many fathers. For I became your Father in Christ through the gospel. You have countless guides in Christ. You don't have many fathers. I mean, this church, they had all the podcasts. They had all the podcasts going on. They had the Joyce, they had the Stephen Furtick, they had the Benny Hinn. They listened to everything. They had all the podcasts going on. They had the books. They'd been to all the conferences. You got all the guides. You got plenty. You got plenty of teachers. You got plenty of sound going into your life, which when you look at it, it looks like good, but you got a lot of stuff going on. But what you really need is the voice of a father, the voice of someone who knows you, the voice of someone who's committed to you, who believes in you, not a far off voice, not just someone trying to tickle your ears with what you need to hear, but you need the voice of a father. We need the voice of a father. There's so many voices available to us. And add to that all the voices around our lives. In today's world, we are receiving more information than at any point in the history of mankind. We receive so much through social media and the internet and our TV. We receive so much, too much to process, but so many voices telling you how to live your life. telling you how to look, how not to look, how to find the perfect partner, how to be happy, how to be true to yourself. You're cool, you're not cool, you're too thin, you're too fat. Goes on and on and on. And Paul is coming into the church and he's saying, right, I am going to cut through the crowd. I'm going to cut through the crowd of voices in your life and speak to your heart. It's the voice of a father that we need. Some of us need to cut the crowd. We need to cut the crowd. Cut the crowd of voices. Cut the crowd even of the things that you think, these are good voices, these are good voices. Maybe some of us are listening to too many voices, not listening to the voice of our Father. It's time to clear our heads. Sometimes it's time to put the phone down, time to get off the social media for a little bit, time to just turn things off, time to spend some time with your Heavenly Father, time to find the voices around your life. Who's believing in me? Who's committed to me? Who really is it that I can just open up to and allow to speak into my life? Where's my Father? Because it's in all of us. Where's my Father? We can default to listening to the voices that tell us what we want to hear, finding the guides, even in church life, that are saying what we think we want to hear them rather than what we need to hear. The voice of the Father was literally coming to these guys through Paul. I find that interesting, right? That it wasn't like just coming to them through a devotional time, which it does, right? We would emphasize in our lives, come on, spend some time just on your own. But it wasn't just about having a good devotional time. It wasn't even coming through your church buddies, even though it does do that. He was speaking through Paul. He was speaking through the apostle. He was speaking through their leader. And we got to recognize the Father's voice and where it's coming from in our lives. So me and Lisa, before we became part of Hope City Church, were leading a church called the Community Church. We were leading. Oh, Beth and Chris were there, coming on the journey. Thanks for sticking with us. And you're doing it on your own. And we were doing okay. We were moving in the right direction. But there was something in us that said, I need the voice of the Father. And when Dave Gilpin came along and I came across Dave, I just found there's a voice that I need to hear. I need to have my life kind of in line with a fatherly voice into my life. So I'm not just doing this on my own. I need people who can actually speak directly into my life. Help me become the best version of me possible. So I find a father, you know? I probably wouldn't say that to Dave. Oh, you're like a father to me. You know, I don't know. He'd rather just be a bigger brother, I think. But, you know, there's a voice. There's a voice there, Phil Pringle, who we had on DVD, who's become, you know, Dave, Pastor Dave's spiritual father right now. And we love coming under his ministry. Say, what a father to the house and to Hope City Church. It creates a place of security because I need to test the sounds that I think I'm hearing. I need to test the voice. I'm not here just to go, I know, because I know God. I need to test it. With fathers, with people who can speak into my life. I don't trust myself to be right all the time. But that doesn't come by default. It's not, hey, guess what? I'm the pastor, so listen to me. You've got to do what I say. This is not some kind of command, control thing. But I find this, that if you believe, like I believe about Dave, I'm like, this is a guy who loves God, who's been set up to lead his church. You know, so... And I've learned, I've followed, I've checked this out. I trust this is right. You got to come to a point where you say, right, I'm going to put myself under the sound of this voice. We all need to find, I've got to put myself under the sound of this voice. Not to restrict us or control us, but in order for us to find stability, find wisdom, and for us to fulfill his incredible purpose for our lives. Some of us have been let down by fathers. We find it difficult to trust. But your Heavenly Father can heal that. Even today, begin that process and allow you to begin to take steps back into a place of trust. Because if you can't trust, I don't think you can really enter into the things that God has for you. Some of us have been hurt. Some of us have been let down in church, outside of church. But God heals these things. I've got to wrap this up in a few minutes, right? And I've got like two more like major points. So, two more, I know. So let's see how far I get. The next thing about his voice is that it's reproduced in his sons. I love this, that Paul says, I urge you, be imitators of me. Bit bold, that, isn't it? Be imitators of me. Copy me. Do what I do. Sounds a bit bold, right? It could sound a little bit arrogant. Do what, look, I'm your spiritual father. Be imitators of me. That's why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. How many sons follow in their father's footsteps? Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes not so good. But there's a thing of following in the father's footsteps, following in someone's footsteps. I need, you need, everybody needs someone to look up to and say, I want to be like you. You shouldn't think, well, this is arrogant to say, hey, be imitators of me. You should think, I want people around my life who I want to look at me and say, oh gosh, I want to be like you. That's not pride. It's like, because I want to reproduce what God's doing in my life into the life of someone else. You should think, God, my prayer this year is that, one, I would be looking at someone else saying, I want to be like you. And two, that I've got somebody looking at me saying, I want to be like you. Whether that's your natural kids or your supernatural spiritual kids, your disciples, people that you're bringing to know Jesus Christ, you've got to have someone who said, I want to be like you. Not in everything, don't have to dress the same and all that kind of stuff, but I do find that when you find someone that you want to be like, your clothing starts to, your wardrobe starts to change a little bit, and your hairstyles. Tony, our sound guy, give a wave to Tony. Give away Tony. He's doing an incredible job. He found it quite funny that how similar Dave Gilpin and Phil Pringle looked to each other. I said, maybe there's just a subconscious thing going on. It does happen, but gosh, our world needs people that inspire them, people to look up to. They need you to take hold of who you are in God and become a father and have the spirit of the father that says, gosh, I want to create sons. I want to be an inspiration through my life, through my family, through my business, through the way that I'm generous, through the way that I encourage something out of my life. May it be something that other people want to imitate and copy. That's what I want. Is that what you want? It should be. Because everyone needs someone to inspire them. Our next generation is dying for someone to look up to. Why should we let it be the Rihanna? Why should we let Rihanna be the inspiration? Why should we let just the people on the posters? Why should we let the wrong people be the inspiration? We should be the inspiration. I want to be an inspiration. I want to bring the spirit of the Father to my world. I want Hope City Church in Liverpool to be a father to the city of Liverpool. That people would look at Hope City Church and say, I want to be like you. And if we get hold of this spirit of fatherhood, oh, we can become something so much greater. So much greater than we've even begun to dare to believe. Because Paul didn't have to go himself. He just needed to send Timothy. He said, you know what? Timothy's got it. In the Amplified version of this, of verse 17, it says that Timothy will recall to your minds my methods of proceeding and course of conduct and way of life in Christ. What is your method of proceeding? you know I was going to do something, right? This is how I proceed. It's a good method. It's a good method of proceeding, that is. He'll recall to your mind everything about my life. Not just a bunch of teaching. Not just a bunch of words. But I'm building a culture. Paul says, I'm building a culture. God is building a culture in the church. It's not just about some teaching that you can repeat. But it's a life that you live. And Timothy's going to come. And he's got it. He's got the culture of the house. And he wants to reproduce it in every single one of you. There's a culture in Hope City Church. And when Dave gets up and speaks about match fit, it's about here's a way of proceeding. Here's a method of conduct, and we've got to say, oh, this is our culture, because this is going to impact our lives. This is what we want to reproduce in our world. Gosh, don't just take teaching. Let's build a culture. Let's become sons of the house. I'm not building Dave Stoner Church. I'm building Hope City Church. I'd say I am Hope City. It's always a red warning, meep, 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 to me, right? When someone just goes, the church, da-da-da-da, this. The church didn't do that. oh, the church said, but then the church. I'm like, hello, you are the church. I always find it weird when someone who's been around church a long time, around a church a long time, talks about the church as though it's this separate entity over here. The church, the church, the church. I'm like, you are the church. We're building something together, aren't we? So I am Hope City Church. Not, I don't fully, you know, embody everything about it, but I'm living under a culture and in the spirit of the Father. I'm living my life in a particular way. And so we want to build. We want to be sons of the house, not just Christians. I want to be sons of the house, people who can take the culture of the house into their world, whether that's through faith or generosity or love or whatever it is. And we take that culture into our world. And there's even people who can go and take it into Kuala Lumpur. You know, we've got some guys going to Kuala Lumpur, not to build Joel and Emma Church, but to build Hope City Church, to take the Father's voice, say, well, if Joel and Emma go, we know if Joel and Emma go to Kuala Lumpur, they will build Hope City Church. So you're called to inspire others to say, I want to be like you. I want to be like you in my business, in my family, in my purity, in the way you encourage, in generosity, in faith, in purpose. We need young people like, we need young adults like Chris and Beth. We need these guys, right? To live the life that they've lived over the last year, right? They didn't come in to following Jesus Christ as just perfect. We've had our life all perfect, but they've endeavored to live a particular way up until the day of their marriage. That's got to be an inspiration to others because ultimately I think people want purity. Ultimately, that's what I think. That we're sold, do this, do that, sleep around, make yourself feel good, you'll feel all right. We're sold all this stuff, but it's not really what people want in their hearts. They actually want the feeling of purity. They actually want the feeling of, this is all good. I want to feel okay about myself. I don't want to be feeling like I've got to do something in order to feel valued and wanted. People just want to feel valued and wanted without having to do something. It's going to be valued and wanted for themselves. So people like Chris and Beth, we need people like that because that's what will inspire the next generation. We need fathers like some of you older guys who go, oh, gosh, it's all about the kids. It's all about the younger people. I'm just, you know, my time is past. Never say my time is past. As soon as you say that, your time is past. You can get it back, right? Come back on track because we need fathers. To lead the way, to be full on in faith, more than ever before, more than you were before. So I've come through some stuff and I'm demonstrating the life of God to the people around me. We need every generation to just be on fire for God. And the voice of the Father saves us from ourselves. He says, some of you are arrogant, thinking I'm not coming. But when we haven't got the voice of a Father, we kind of just listen to our own voice. Say, I can do this, be all right. You need a father. You need a spiritual father, a heavenly father. Maybe you've tried to be a father in your world, tried to speak as a father in your home or in your work environment, try to speak to people, give them wisdom in some way, and then you watch them go and ignore it. And you watch the results and you think, well, what's the point? Please don't give up being a father. Please don't give up thinking I want to speak into the next generation. I want to speak into my kids. Maybe if your kids aren't listening to you right now, keep being a father wherever you are, wherever you go, whatever you're doing. Don't give up. If you've tried to be a fatherly voice and it's not gone according to plan, don't give up. We need you to be a father. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, fear not for your father. Well, it doesn't say this. I've added your father in there. Isaiah 41 verse 10, we got that. Yeah, I'll read it off here, right? So do not fear, for I, your father, am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I, your father, am your God. I, your father, will strengthen you. And I, your father, will help you. I, your father, will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Because God is not just God. He becomes your father. I remember the day where my mom had just the final blowout argument with my dad and stepdad, who I grew up with, final blowout argument. And I got involved. I jumped down the stairs. Like, there was a lot of stairs. I did it in two jumps, right? That's how angry I was. Jumped down those stairs, ran into the kitchen, started shouting, threw a few things around, got involved. And then the next day when I got up, I looked out the window. It's another memory. It sticks in your head because it's highly emotive. And you're looking out the window and he's walking off down the road with the suitcase. And you're like, oh, gosh. Oh, no, he's really going this time. He's really going. He's really leaving my mom. He's really leaving me. He's really leaving my sister. This is really happening. And so sometimes it can be hard if you've had that sort of thing to listen to stuff about fathers or to think you could be a father. Some of us have had fathers walk away. Some of us have looked to a father or a fatherly voice and they've not been what we wanted or hoped. Some of us are, gosh, we're looking for a father figure. Feeling maybe we feel like a bit of an orphan. I need a father's voice. But God became my father. 6 months after that, God became my father. Began to restore me. Restore me to a place where I could trust. Restore me. You don't have to live just broken up. You don't have to. You don't have to live on your own. I've got stuff in my life. I realize, gosh, there's broken stuff in me that causes insecurities and all kinds of stuff where I still need my Heavenly Father to come in and help and strengthen, uphold me. But I'm not walking around like a wreck. I just know, gosh, I'm relying on you, Father. And today, just in the last few minutes as we finish, as we stand together in a moment, I believe we can just touch His presence just for a final few moments. And you can bring whatever there is in your life, whatever emotive memories, whatever stuff there is to God. Maybe you've never done that before. Maybe you have, but you recognize, God, this is the thing I just need to keep before my Father in heaven. Come on, let's stand together. Let's all stand. So if any of those things, right, that I've just mentioned there at the end, if this is resonating with you in any way, let's all close our eyes. Let's all close our eyes right now because we need to meet with the Father, every single one of us. But if some of those things resonate with your heart, why don't you just lift your hands, because it just means I'd just like to pray. I'd like to pray. If any of those things are part of you, don't be afraid, just so I can see. Yeah, there are hands up. Young hands, older hands. I'd also like to pray for you if you feel like you're failing as a father. In some way, you think, I am failing. I'm falling so far short. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to do next. I'd love to pray for you. Why don't you add your hand to the hands that are already up? Everyone, please keep your hands up if that was you. And if that's you as well, just lift hands. Father God. Father God, I thank you. Father, I thank you for everyone here who's, gosh, feeling broken. Father God, for every heart that needs the heart of the Father, needs the Spirit of the Father. Lord God, will you come and touch every life? You've got to receive. You've got to pray for yourself as well. Come on, let's all pray right now. Let's all pray right now for the Father to come and touch every heart, every life. Come on, if you say, well, I don't really need that, I've got that. You pray for everyone here. Father God, will you come right now? Will you come and touch every heart, every life, Lord God? Every life that needs you. Every heart, Lord God, that feels broken, that feels I can't trust. I don't know how to trust. Lord God, will you come? Father God, we draw near to you. We draw close to you, Lord God. Father, to hear your voice afresh in our lives. Lord God. Father, for every single person whose father has walked away. Father, I thank you that you are near right now. Father, for every single person, Father God, who's been let down. Who's been let down by their own father, by fathers around them. Father, thank you that you never let us down. Father, thank you that you never fail. Father, thank you that your heart is for us, not against us. Not to shame us, but to lift us up. To take hold of our lives, Lord God. Father, will you renew people's hearts? Will you heal broken hearts? Lord God, will you bring your love, your spirit of gentleness, Lord God, into every heart, every life? Why don't you receive right now? Receive this. His voice isn't harsh. It's a gentle voice. It's a gentle sound. It's a heart of love. It's a heart of compassion. Jesus, will you heal people? Lord, in their deepest parts, will you pour out your spirit again into our lives, the spirit of sonship by which we can cry out, Abba, Father, Holy Spirit, Spirit of the Father. And Father, for every dad here who's struggling, saying, I don't know what to do next. God, you are the ultimate Father. Father, you would say, well done. Well done, you're not doing so bad. Your heart is good. Your heart is right. Keep on going. I will uphold you. I will strengthen you. Come on. We just got to lift him up right now. We got to thank him. We got to allow something to come out of our hearts, out of our lives. Come on. Come on. It's on the journey.
To carry us. Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.